Let's look at the objectives first before we move ahead. So here we shall understand what a social network is. We will also look at some of the social networking related activities. It's a kind of a slight repetition from the previous chapter, in some extent though. We will also look at the quality of social networking relationships. Some interesting theories in relationship to the networking. The two most important ones, which are the social exchange theory and object relations theory, will be discussed here. Let's now take an introductory look at this chapter in this and the next few slides. Social networking is a current phenomenon that consists of both web-based communication with internet users through websites such as Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, and interaction with others via cellular phones. So we've discussed this in the previous chapter. Some of the things might overlap. According to Facebook statistics, there were 526 million daily active users on an average in March 2012. Of course, recent statistics need to be studied also. So there is a definite probable, 100 million or 200 million, or even the count might have reached a billion as of the present day. Social networking thus has become common in today's society, especially among adolescents and young adults. So adolescents are the people who are in their teens, who are on the verge of becoming adults, and of course the people between the age groups of about 18 to 25 who are young adults, and continues to grow in popularity. These activities occur among people who already know each other personally, as well as those who have never met in person. So this is extremely important. Increased utilization of computers and cell phones to communicate, tasks that have historically required interpersonal skills and face-to-face interaction, may be altering the means in which young people attain and practice skills that are necessary to function in their daily lives. So networking is seen as an essential skill from which people learn new things. They actually are learning how to live lives in a social kind of an atmosphere or an environment. Over the past decade, technological advances have reached all segments of the population across the globe. The 20th century was epitomized by youth staying connected through face-to-face interaction or use of landline telephones. So it's been a gradual evolution of how technology has changed our lives. Initially, people used to meet more. Okay, there were certain social clubs, there were certain social places where people used to meet every day. Now, what's happened is with the growing, competition, with people wanting to earn more money, they are spending more time at their jobs. Maybe even during the weekend hours. So it's more on telephone and on the social networking sites. Social networks, thus thought of as a set of people in which support is exchanged, or relationships that are important to an individual, were typically managed through interpersonal or conventional telephone contact. So as we can see in a chronological manner, people became busier, some of them traveled abroad. Okay, so telephone was the only means to communicate during the 70s, 80s, 90s. However, the growth in the internet access with the invention of the internet by Tim Berners-Lee in the US, then it's spreading across in India. The internet became prominent in the late 90s, 97 onwards. So the growth in the internet access and software availability has resulted in social networks being replaced online and through telecommunications. So it's happened gradually, and now we've been able to leverage technology to become socially connected. The youth of today use technology such as the internet more than any other medium through which to communicate and socialize. Of course, there are reasons why people do so. The internet is much, much less inexpensive than any other communication medium existing today. It's also portable. You can avail of Wi-Fi hotspots or hubspots. You can avail of mobile, you can say internet sticks like the Photon or Reliance Communication, which also nowadays can be created into Wi-Fi hubs. So it's extremely portable. In fact, if you are not using a tablet or a laptop, your smartphones themselves have become modems, which promote internet connectivity. So you can just use a data pack minimal of 50 or 100 rupees and start to browse information and get connected with people. Recent studies have shown that communication technology is increasing exponentially with each generation and is becoming a mainstay within our society. Even young children are online, and there are numerous social networking sites that cater to this population. As technological advancements are made, the residual impact of social networking on the society's young generation is of valuable information or importance to researchers in the social work field. So there are many you can say implications of a social network, aspects like stalking somebody on the social network, hacking their site, or cyberbullying are some of these. Once envisioned as an efficient tool for researchers to share files and access data by remote login, commercialization of the internet has resulted in the creation of the email and the World Wide Web. The enormous technical complexity of the internet has expanded to include thousands of networks, millions of computers, and billions of users across the world. So as you see, the quick reach, the ease of accessibility, the 24/7 nature has created this particular phenomenon. Now let's take a look at the social networking activities. The advancements in the technology have resulted in people being able to access a wealth of information and participate in virtual opportunities not previously available. Through the tools of computers and cell phones, society has moved from engaging in face-to-face interaction while performing these activities to endeavors or activities that do not require in-person interaction. So Facebook is one particular area where you really don't require a face-to-face interaction. You can quickly gauge who your friends are. You can find interesting people and connect without being meeting ever in a face-to-face medium. The devices have therefore become the actual mediators between people and knowledge or entertainment. So you can quickly pick up a phone and call a person, probably a friend or relative. So this mediator is the cell phone. Within recent years, technology has also made available different avenues for communicating. So you can use a voice chat, you can use an SMS, you can use a webcam to communicate. Thus, the capabilities of computers and cell phones have allowed users to develop means to participate in the world of social networking, now making the device the mediator of communication between individuals. So it's extremely important to understand this factor from the context of social networking activities. So in this context, the first is the internet surfing. This term appeared after the creation of the personal computer and the internet, and is seen as an extension of channel surfing, where viewers randomly change channels on a television using a remote control with no real physical effort. So we've all been doing this now almost for the last 15 to 20 years since the advent of the internet. This is an activity described as spending time visiting either random or targeted websites on the internet for non-communication purposes. So we know this, that's why we are just quickly just browsing through this information. Users can view websites to gather information, play interactive games, shop and view photos and movies. Therefore, surfing the internet can be addictive in nature because individuals receive short-term gratification every time they go online, making it very desirable to continue to go online to receive this gratification. What this means is that people, if they want some information and they quickly get it, so they are gratified or they are glee or happy. So let us say if you are searching for some information which you, placed a bet on with your friend. Let us say a particular TV actor playing a mythological role in a serial, you think is somebody and your friend thinks is somebody else. So when you quickly browse Wikipedia or Google and you find the real answer, you're really happy about it. If you want to find some place or a restaurant quickly and you go on the internet and find it, you even find the menu, you're again happy about it. If you find some electronic good or something which is not available in shops, and if you find it online and you can order it, there is an instant gratification. Studies have demonstrated that excessive internet surfing may increase depression and social anxiety. So a few reasons might be probably, you're not meeting real people. Some of those people might not respond to your friendly requests. Some of the people might stalk you. So these can result in depression and social anxiety. Individuals who struggle with internet surfing and also participate in social networking as a means of meeting their social needs may be at a risk for a significant decline in communication and conflict resolution skills due to their isolative behavior. So they are not meeting anybody in person, they are isolated, only connected with people across the internet. It was found through studies that young persons with low perceived friendship quality reported significantly high depression and social anxiety. So as mentioned in the previous slide, people who fail to gather or connect with other people online may face these problems. In contrast to surfing, now we look at the next type of activity, which is instant messaging. Instant messaging consists of sending real-time online computer messages to another user in a mutually established conversation. So if you've been to Google, you have the Google chat or other chat related servers where you do this particular instant messaging. It's similar to what we do on a phone, which is called as short messaging, which is SMS. Researchers found that instant messaging is the most popular method of communication among teens who go online, with 75% using this medium and 45% doing so at least once a day. So again, this format is quite simple. We are well rehearsed with it for the last 15 years. So I'm going to just quickly run through it. This format is typically private and can be an opportunity for adolescents to practice and develop social skills. The effects of internet surfing and internet messaging on internalizing problems may be closely related due to the findings that adolescents who spend more time instant messaging also spend time surfing. So there are certain things which people on the verge of being an adult do it for fun but also face certain social problems. The next is the texting, which I just mentioned in the previous slide, similar to instant messaging. This is done across a telephone, over telephones, also known as short message service or SMS. More commonly known as texting, is the cellular phone version of instant messaging and also results in virtually instant messages between the sender and the receiver. In a European study of 635 participants aged between 16 to 55 years old who visited a website and completed an online questionnaire, 48.9% reported preferring to use their cell phones for texting over voice calls, and 26.1% reported texting too much. The study also measured levels of loneliness, expressive control, interaction, anxiousness, and conversational involvement. Now let us look at the quality of social networking relationships. Personal interaction is and always has been an important function of the human experience. Prior to the technological revolution and creation of personal computers and cell phones, relationships were typically developed and maintained by means of face-to-face interaction and verbal or written communication. People who are born, you know, in the 70s, 80s can realize how important a telephone was when there was no cell phone, how important a letter or a telegraph was when there were no other facilities like email also. With the development of the information age, characterized by the ability for people to freely and conveniently access and exchange information through technology, the way in which our society interacts with one another has continued to transform. Technological determinism theory attempts to help explain how changes in methods of communication through advancements in technology impacts general society. So, according to this particular theory, media technology shapes how individuals in a society feel, act, and think, as well as influences how society functions as they move from one technological age to another. In other words, people learn how to think and feel the way they do based upon the messages they receive through the current technology. With the creation of the virtual world, individuals have the opportunity to interact with others, both known and unknown, in a variety of ways. In fact, we've discussed this in the previous chapter, some elements here, and we're going to discuss in depth how we can do this with the help of Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Social networking sites on the internet may be used to strengthen relationships that already exist, therefore acting as a bridge between online and offline worlds. Very simple explanation to this. You know people from before in your office, as school friends, as people from your own society or colony. Such people are definitely the ones whom you will connect with online, and you will strengthen relationships with these people. Now what happens is the online websites, they transcend the geographical limitations. So you might not able to meet your favorite cousin who lives in Bangalore, but with the help of Facebook, you can stay connected with him or her anytime through your smartphone, through your laptop, through any device which has internet access. Now let's take a look at the benefits and concerns of social networking. It was found that benefits of online interaction include that it provides a means in which to learn the ability to relate to others, tolerate differing viewpoints, express thoughts and feelings in a healthy way or manner, and practice critical thinking skills. So when you interact with others, right from the onset, nowadays we have play schools or play group where a child who's, it's just been 2 years since the child is born, is sent to a play group to become socially active. That is the major purpose behind, sending a child at least for a couple of hours to a nearby play school where he meets or she meets nearby children, they interact in a way, and they become more creative, they become more active, and they become more social. So other ways are also, for adults or adolescents, teenagers, these particular social networks do the same, function. Communicating with others on the internet is an opportunity to explore self-identity and enhance self-discovery. So probably you might explore something. For example, a friend of mine is, good with cartoons. So once what happened is he did not know this. He just drew a cartoon on a, on a paper, scanned it and sent it across his to his Facebook contacts. The people enjoyed it so much, they requested cartoons of popular celebrities, politicians, sports persons from him. Now he is a big hit on the internet. Another consequence of social networking has been addressed in the research is the issue of cyberbullying. Now, we've seen a few benefits. Let's look at the concerns. So, many people stalk, especially ladies, are stalked by unnecessary people online. Okay, so much data exists regarding the negative aspects of social networking and the incidence of cyberbullying and victimizing amongst others. Now let us take a look at the social exchange theory. This theory is derived from basic principles of economics and compares human behavior to that of transactions in a marketplace environment. So we've all understood what marketplace environment is. It's full of a buying and selling, giving and taking. So this theory is also aligned to that particular practice. The theory begins with the principle that human social behavior is based upon the drive to maximize benefits while minimizing costs. So why are people big fans of Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn? Because in a short span of time, they can connect to a vast number of people. In a very negligible amount, the browsing charges, you can, help your business. In the social exchange theory, the six main rewards that exist consist of both the tangible and the intangible. Tangible meaning the things that can be felt, the things can be, seen, the things can be touched. Intangible means the things which are on an emotional level or on an intelligent level which are not visible. These are love, memory, status, goods, information and services. The identified costs in social exchange theory are the time and the energy. So if you notice, the costs are negligible. So here the exchange or something that you have to give in lieu with is more of time and energy. Within the social exchange theory, relationships are evaluated using a cost-benefit analysis, with an exception that social relations will be established and continued based on being mutually gainful. A leader in social exchange theory denied that cultural and social environments impacted behavior and that only psychological factors were relevant. Thus, as we know, that time and energy are the two major components in terms of the cost that are incurred in this theory. Thus, the amount of time and energy one designates or one provides or gives to texting or posting comments and status updates on Facebook relates directly to the perceived rewards, such as the number of likes or responses. In fact, many organizations who sell online, especially ones who are into marketing and sales, emphasize that they need more likes from people, and they in fact provide a lot of promotional messages in that particular type of context. In other words, given the ability to disperse information efficiently to a mass audience with little time and effort, the potential for rewards in social networking are unrestricted. So, as we know, Facebook is a home to more than a billion users. Twitter is home to more than 400 million users and counting. LinkedIn has more than 400 to 500 million users. So, the potential, if you have some innovative product which you can network in a social manner, there is absolutely no dearth of people who will become connections and will network with you. Now we shall look at another interesting theory in networking, which is the object relations theory. This theory is not necessarily a single theory, but is called so in order to differentiate itself from other theories with common characteristics. This theory examines the dual process of people experiencing themselves as separate and independent from others, while also feeling an intense attachment to others. So every person wants to be seen as a unique individual who has an affinity to people who have certain commonalities or bonds. So that is the basis of this particular theory. Thus, the term object relations encompasses actual relations with others as well as internalized representations of others and self. So, from the previous slide, we've come to understand that unique identities come together to form certain common affinities. As just stated, object relations include not only the complexities or the intricacies of external relations, but also an internal world of relations between self and others. So it's basically exploring the qualities that you have within yourself and the kind of qualities that you share within others who have a similar affinity with you. Since a person's external needs are to be met by other people, the relationship is placed at the center of the experience. As we know, there's an interplay here, internal qualities versus external qualities. As we know that people value their individual nature, their individual qualities, yet they look for commonalities or affinities within the group. So there is a balance here. That's why it's not just a single theory. It encompasses a lot of concepts. It's slightly more complicated than the social exchange theory. These needs include being viewed and valued by others as an individual, as well as an acceptance for both positive and negative qualities, and to be given love, care, and protection. So if you notice, each person is different on Facebook. Let's work with examples. On Facebook, you notice each person has a different profile. Some people might put up a profile of, let us say, a car. Some people might have their photo with their wife. Some people might have a fruit. Some people might have abstract art. So every individual is unique in their own way, yet they look for commonalities and acceptance from a set group. This group might be their friends. This group might be, hotels in Mumbai. This group might be a group of architects, if the person is an architect. This group might be of IT professionals. This group might be as diverse as people who take treks to nearby forts. So this exchange theory is a fine balance between the individual uniqueness and a need for acceptance, the basis for networking. So one important aspect of this theory is the importance placed on how a developing person transitions from requiring attachment to others to a position of separateness. So what happens is, initially when people join such networks, they quickly look for as many friends, as many connections as possible. Slowly and steadily, as they realize the friends are not important, but their individualism is more important. So slowly and steadily, they go into separateness. So this has been a story of many people who are now considered as recluse, or people who are not too active on such networks, who initially were very active on such networks. Now let's look at social networking on Facebook. This is one of the most popular sites to exist in human history. This network has emerged in the late 2000s and has become rapidly the most powerful and the most successful and popular site in the world. Founded in February of 2004 by Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook started as a service for college students, but then opened its doors to anyone to join. By October 2013, Facebook reported having nearly 1.2 billion monthly active users. Now let's look at certain social networking functionalities of Facebook. The first being Facebook Connect. In May 2008, Facebook launched this particular functionality, which lets other websites utilize the Facebook users' profiles and networking features. So they can, connect from the other websites into the Facebook. It can have users register at the site using their Facebook accounts and then explore content on the site, comment on it or share links to it with their friends on the Facebook network. The other feature is friend. Friending someone is the act of sending another user a friend request. Of course, I'm running through it because we are all aware of these things. The two people are Facebook friends once the receiving party accepts the friend request. In addition to accepting the request, the user has the option of declining the friend request or hiding it using the not now feature. The next is the Facebook wall, which we are well aware of. A quick, just a brief look at it. The wall is the original profile space where Facebook users' content as of December 2011 has been displayed. It allowed the posting of messages, often short or temporal notes, for the user to see while displaying the time and date the message was written. A user's wall is visible to anyone with the ability to see his or her full profile, and the friend's wall posts appear in the user's news feed. The next concept is again a famous one of tagging. This concept, is used in status updates, an attempt to imitate Twitter, and began on September 14, 2009. This meant putting the name of a user, a brand, an event, or a group in a post in such a way that it linked to the wall of the Facebook page being tagged, and made the post appear in news feeds for that page as well as those of selected friends. Now, after having briefly looked at Facebook, let's look at social networking on Twitter. Twitter is the most popular microblogging site today. Microblogging is defined as a quick update, usually containing a very limited number of characters. It is a popular feature of social networks like Facebook, where you can update your status, but it has now become best known because of Twitter. In a sense, microblogging is for people who want to blog but don't want to blog. So microblogging is nothing but very short blogs, not like the usual blogs which consists of 1,000 words or 2,000 words. This can, be limited to 140 characters as defined in Twitter. So a personal blog can keep people informed on what is going on in your life, but not everyone wants to spend time on reading this. So if you have a blog from a person who writes more than 1,000-2,000 words, you won't get time. But if he tweets, like the celebrity tweets sent by Amitabh Bachchan or Salman Khan, Hrithik Roshan, or tweets like Rahul Gandhi, Narendra Modi, the prominent ones. So people would be interested what's happening, but in a very quick, brief way. So Twitter is a platform for social messaging in the form of microblogging. While Twitter may have started as this kind of a service, it has grown into much more than simply a tool to type in quick status updates. So when asked what is Twitter, it is often described as a cross between blogging and instant messaging. So even that doesn't do it justice. So Twitter is quite versatile, although it looks extremely simple and straightforward. So put simply, Twitter is social messaging. Another key feature of Twitter is the direct message or DM, which is a private note between two users on Twitter. The person receiving the message must follow the person sending it, and the message is bound by the 140 characteristic limit of Twitter. So follow is the feature which is quite unique to Twitter. This is the act of connecting with someone on Twitter. People who have elected to follow you will see your tweets in their timeline. You're not obligated to follow people back, and you have the ability to block followers. Usually, this is only for spammers from seeing your posts. The next being following, which is electing to see someone's tweets in your own timeline. Follow people and companies that you're interested in hearing from. So social networking can be done in this particular context. The next feature is the handle, which is the username in Twitter, is referred to as your handle. This is identified with the at the rate symbol. The at the rate is used to refer to a specific person and link to that account on Twitter within a tweet. The next is a hashtag, which is quite famous today. Words preceded by a hash symbol or a pound sign, okay, can be used to tie various tweets together and relate them to a topic. Now, these topics can be in the form of conferences, TV shows, sporting events, or any happening or trending thing that you're choosing. Twitter automatically links all hashtags so users can search for other tweets using the same tag. The last topic that we're looking at in this chapter is the business networking on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, as we know, has become very famous for business networking. Almost all professionals in all sectors of the industry use LinkedIn. LinkedIn still seems to grab a lot of people as a recruiter or a job hunting site. In reality, it has already become many things. LinkedIn in reality is a social network, it's a news aggregator, personal branding platform, and a networker's paradise. Networker's paradise because people can find both active as well as passive people for recruitment. Active meaning those who are actively looking for a job, passive people meaning those in a job not currently looking for a job but might be worthy enough to discover. LinkedIn always ranks near the top with strong support from seasoned marketers who are on this particular website. LinkedIn was built on a professional business model, capitalizing on the methods of networking used in the pre-digital world. With continued and significant improvements to increase its usage, LinkedIn is a feature-rich platform steadily organizing connections and content from other platforms. Now let's look at the benefits of LinkedIn. Besides being a go-to platform for business-to-business or a B2B social media marketing, LinkedIn generates more leads than other or any other popular social media platforms, providing a good measure of the return on investment. Some key LinkedIn metrics include followers, referring traffic, references, group members, and discussions created. So many of us are already on LinkedIn and practically do this. So therefore, I'm quickly breezing through this. LinkedIn's focus on professional interests, work, education, and demographic leads to fine-tune targeting. So if you want to target a few people in your area or in some other city, you can easily get people for your job. LinkedIn is also an obvious online reputation management tool, helping establish your professional networking and as an online business card. LinkedIn profiles also rank well for your name in Google search. The first feature that we are going to look at is the profile. Your profile is the basis for searches on and off the LinkedIn platform. In this context, it's necessary to fill out all sections, include a professional photograph, remember keywords in each section, and avoid keyword stuffing or any other spammy kind of information. In this context, promote your profile with the link added to your business cards, email signatures, and Facebook and Twitter pages. The next key feature is that of groups, which many of us are members of. So LinkedIn features hundreds of groups with members joining up to 50 groups related to industry, location, keywords, and content. So it is recommended for social and business networking to join a few key groups to allow development of content and connections within regular monitoring. The next key feature is the recommendations. A key benefit is giving and receiving personal and business recommendations. Now, recommendations are similar to what we have in real life. Somebody recommending you for the good work that you've done when you were with them as a partner, as a client, as a peer, as a subordinate or a boss. Soliciting recommendations from customers and leaders increases your connection. So you are looked upon as a credible person when you have these recommendations. So, well, friends, in this way, we have completed this chapter where we looked at different social networking activities. In this, we've seen the kinds of benefits and the kinds of concerns that there are. We've also seen some social networking theories like the social exchange theory and the objects relation theory. We've also seen social networking on three important sites, namely Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you.